Wednesday night Bible study on prayer and continued that for several weeks. And then we've obviously started this one. And it's kind of like we're going to look at, obviously, phrases in Psalm 23. And, excuse me, how that should be part of our prayer. And the one right before the holidays, we started and it said, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And we did that. And obviously we brought out that word, my. And of course, and we're going to see another word tonight, that a lot of times we get taught as Christians not to use them as much. You know, like my and mine. You know, we're supposed to honor and preferring, you know, one another. We're supposed to be kindly affectionate one to another and preferring them more than we prefer ourselves, and, you know, Jesus, others, and you, and things like that. And so we hear that type of preaching, and so when we hear the Lord is my shepherd, we're like, ooh. But there's it's like the Bible says, a false balance is abomination. So even that word, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, we can have a balance there. There are some things that we shouldn't worry about as far as ourselves and pleasing ourselves. We should pray for others and be concerned for others, and we ought not always be saying, my, this is my time, this is my way, this is my thoughts, this is my... And yes, I agree with that. But we ought not do away with the Lord as my shepherd, ownership, possession. He made it that way. And he said, you know, the shepherd gave his life for the sheep. So he's the one that died in my stead. He is the one that took my hell. He is the one that took my place. And so if you look in that perspective, we saw last week that the Lord, or the last time we had this study, the Lord is my shepherd. He belongs to each individual. And we saw that he's no respecter of persons. He's just as much your shepherd as he is my shepherd. He's just as much, and we can mention everybody's name. And so we saw in that last time. So this one we're looking at, that second phrase there, I shall not want. I shall not want. So again, we try to teach our kids to be appreciative. A little bit bigger word. Maybe we teach us adults to be content. You know, not always just, I gotta have, and things like that, and I shall not want. So obviously we see that perspective. But there's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having, you know, a desire, things like that. But obviously we have to, if you want to call it, spiritualize them or put them in a Bible principle. So same thing here. I'm not going to get to the point where I don't want. What he's saying is, as long as I'm your shepherd, you'll have no needs. You'll have no desires. You'll have no... Now, obviously, the devil will try to throw things out there, and he'll twist those desires, and we're going to see that tonight. We're going to see different things. We're going to see lack of contentment. We're going to see maybe dissatisfaction and some things like that. But as far as this is saying here, the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm one of his sheep, and as long as I stay close to him, I won't have a want, I won't have a need, because you see in this passage, he takes me to get me some food when I need it. He takes me through the valley of the shadow of death, but he keeps me protected. So the lesson that we need to grasp a hold of tonight is to be close to that shepherd. And we're going to see that he knows us and we're supposed to know him and things like that. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. But I shall not want. And so the first thing here we're going to see is I shall not want. It says here we may have fleshly or earthly desires. That's when, again, we bypass the shepherd, or we say, okay, shepherd, I really don't care what you want. This is what I want. So again, we do have wants then. I want this, and I want it now, and I want more of it, and things like that. But if we're, okay, shepherd, you created me, you died for me, I've surrendered my life back to you, I've presented my body a living sacrifice. So, you know, mine and your relationship, top, most important thing. All this other stuff will take care of itself, so I don't have a want. And so we see that we might have some fleshly or earthly desires if we let our mind get in there, or the devil get in there, or the world get in there, or even our flesh get in there. But we shall not be lacking of anything spiritually speaking. So if our shepherd is in first place in our life, and we're his sheep, and we're close to him, the Bible says we won't have a want. We won't have a need. The Bible says he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So there won't be a need. There won't be a desire. There won't be a selfish thing there. And so we got to look at it in perspective here. I shall not want. It's not a sin to want something. Again, now if I want my way over God's way, then that is getting into the sin realm. If I want what the Bible says I shouldn't want and I shouldn't have or just stay away from, then I am in that sin realm. So we see here it's not a sin to want something, and God, He wants us to have it. Right? The Bible says that if our ways please Him, right, He'll give us the desires of our heart. So just like a parent wants his kid to be happy and wants his kid to have things and wants his kid to be blessed and wants his kid to be protected and things like and be successful, that's what God wants for us. So God's not up there trying to, you know, make us be miserable and don't you want anything. You know, you sit down and you be content. We have those commands. We're going to look at them. But He wants us. And that's what the Bible says in Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. In other words, if this sheep is right there by the shepherd and making the shepherd happy, it says here, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And I've heard people take it, it's okay if your desires are the same as His desires, that's how you get your desires. I agree with that. All right. But I also see verses in there where it says, you know, if you fathers know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Heavenly Father want to give to you? So again, I'm not going to sit there and let somebody take God's love for me and God's desire for me to be happy out of that either. So we see here, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires or wants of your heart. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. And again, I've heard this argument too. Oh, there's a lot of a difference between a need and a want. All right? You need food, yeah. All right? But you don't need a T-bone every night. Okay? You need some bread and some water, but you don't need, you know, filet mignon, or you don't need, you know, all the fancy stuff. So you can get by with just bread and water. So again, but go back to that verse. If your Father knows how to give you good gifts down here on earth, God can give you stuff up there. But He says here He's going to supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. So we see in the first one, sheep, delight yourself in the shepherd. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Sheep, you do everything and trust Him, and He'll take care of your needs according to His riches and glory. So again, I'm not going to get into splitting hairs or arguing with Him. I just want to please Him, delight myself in Him, and I want to allow Him to supply my needs best way He sees fit. All right, then the next verse, 2 Peter 3:9, says here, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. So we see here three principles so far. I shall not want. Why? Because I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. That's where I need to be focused. And then He's going to take care of the rest. I'm going to, you know, please Him, and He's going to take care of my needs according to His riches and glory. And I have to trust Him that He's not slack concerning His promise. If He said, hey, you delight yourself in me, I'll give you all your desires. Hey, if you'll just trust me, I'll provide all your needs. Here it is. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. Now, if He said He'd do it, He's going to do it. So I just need to be a sheep and be close to the shepherd and let Him cover it, take care of it all. That's what we're seeing here. The next one. It says here, the Lord is my shepherd. When I get everything else, everything else should be secondary. So this is my mindset. It's kind of like the little girl. She was 4 years old, I think. I heard the story told, and the pastor says, who in here can quote the 23rd Psalm? And the little 4-year-old hand went up. And he was like, okay. Maybe she's just a go-getter. Maybe she's advanced beyond, you know, 4 years old, the whole 23rd Psalm. And so he says, stand up. So she stood up, and then what she said was, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. That's all she said. And he thought, that's pretty much it. All right? If you look at this, I mean, yeah, he's going to take us to green pastures where we need to be filled. He's going to keep us, even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, He's going to take care of us. And so pretty much if we had that mindset, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. He's going to take care of it. And so we see that that should be our goal, not, well, I want this, so how can I manipulate the Scripture and how can I, you know, put pressure on God to get what I want? What we need to do is to say, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. And He'll take care of the rest of it. So the thing we're seeing here is the relationship with my shepherd and this sheep, or you could say the same thing, is the most important thing. That's why I'm going to give you a couple of verses. You know all these. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All right, so instead of seeking what we want, even what we desire, even what we think we might need, what we need to do is say, okay, what I'm going to do is seek the shepherd's blessing. I'm going to have a relationship with the shepherd. All the rest of it will take care of itself. Colossians 1:18 says this, that in all things he might have preeminence. So Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd, he wants to be first, preeminence, first place. In other words, I don't put money and then God. I don't put my possessions and then God. I don't put my career and then God. I don't put my wife and then God. I don't put my kids and then God. No. God. And I need His help to take care of my wife. And I need His help to take care of my kids. And I need His help to take care of my job and my possessions. I need Him. And so I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He's going to take care of the rest. All these things shall be added unto you. And I want Him to have first place. And so we see the Lord is my shepherd, and if I focus on that relationship, I won't have any wants. I won't have any needs. I won't have any desires. He's going to take care of them. So we'll look at that. So we see here with the shepherd, first statement, and you can look right there in the Scriptures, beside still waters. All right? And so if that sheep is with the shepherd right there beside still waters, he's getting good drink. And obviously he takes him out and makes him lie down in the green pastures. He gets rest. He gets sustenance. He gets food. And so all that sheep had to do was like, look, as long as I keep my eyes on the shepherd, as long as I'm in an ear's distance with the shepherd, it doesn't really matter what comes, whether it be good water and good grass or the valley of the shadow of death. As long as I'm with the shepherd, I'm okay. That's what he's saying. So with the shepherd, besides the water, secondly, with the shepherd in those shadows of death and in that valley. The most important thing was the relationship with the shepherd. So if our relationship with the shepherd is right, we're going to enjoy and appreciate everything that comes into our life that's good. They're like, look, that water was awesome. This green grass is filling my belly. This is a great day with the Lord. And then, they're in the valley of the shadow of death. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Oh, there's the shepherd. I'm okay. And so we see that's the mindset that David is teaching us here. That, you know, whether it's good, God's good. Even if it's bad, God's still good. And it's kind of like, you know, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. So when that sheep was drinking that ice cold water, he's like, man, the shepherd's awesome. He was eating that green grass, man. That shepherd he overdid himself today. Man, this is awesome. I'm scared. I'm scared we might die. Oh, there's a shepherd. We're good. And so that's what I'm saying. If I have the Lord is my shepherd, and I won't have a want. I will have all the water I need, all the grass I need, and I'm going to be safe as possible. So what I got to worry about is my relationship with the shepherd. So I will enjoy and appreciate that was good, and I'll trust and lean on the shepherd when things are bad. Why? Because it's going to work together for good. And so if that sheep was obviously in the valley of the shadow of death and the shepherd wasn't there, they would be freaking out. They would be saying, well, how in the world am I going to make it? I blew it. I didn't stay close to the shepherd. I blew it. I didn't trust the shepherd. I went off and did my own thing. And now here I am. But the one that... Relationships, number one, being right with God, number one, having my relationship with Him is one. He's going to be right there. It really doesn't matter what comes. It really doesn't matter what I want. God's going to take care of it. So we have to just focus on that relationship. So we ought to be preoccupied with our relationship and let everything else, just leave it to Him. Let Him be the shepherd and we can be the sheep. And so some people in the world, they're looking for satisfaction, not the relationship. And so again, just this last week, there was another, I don't think it was a movie star, I think it was a writer, somebody that wrote these movies and produced them, committed suicide. I mean, they're supposed to be the richest people. They were looking for satisfaction. I wrote this movie, or I got this Grammy, or I got this much money, or I got this, and off themselves. Why? Because their focus was on making money, being popular, doing their thing like that. And the shepherd was not in the picture. And so there was no satisfaction. They did have a want. I want, and they thought they got it, but they didn't. I want this, and they think they got it, and they didn't. But if we say, I got the shepherd, that's all I want. And so we see that these people, that they're looking for satisfaction. And, you know, if we have the shepherd, I mean, you look at it, He took care of their water. He took care of their grass. He took care of their safety. And you read those verses in there. As long as I got food and raiment and my relationship with God, I'm good. And I know I paraphrase that. But obviously our shepherd gave us eternal life. Okay, so we don't have a want. Some of these people, they want to live forever, so they'll join this religion. They want to live forever, so they'll take this vitamin or do this workout regimen. They want to live forever, so they'll travel across the country and drink out of the fountain of youth. They're looking for something. They're trying to make their... I want my life to last as long as I can. And then they still, at 85, they still want to look like... I want to look like I was 25. And so they go get stretched so tight that they can't even blink their eyes because they want to look like they're 25 again. Now, I mean, obviously we're going to get a new body when we get to heaven and praise the Lord. I don't know how old we'll be, but we'll get a new one. Our shepherd gave us eternal life. And then He also gave us eternal security. I'm not going to take this back from you. Here, you asked me for eternal life. I gave it to you. I'm not going to take it back. So I want to hold on to it. I want to keep myself. No, we don't have to want. He gave it to me. He's going to keep me safe. He also gave us, He said, look, I got to go back to heaven, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. So He gave us, obviously, comfort. He gave us leadership. This is the way walking in it. So, I mean, our shepherd gave us eternal life, gave us eternal security, gave us the Holy Spirit to comfort us and guide us, and then He also gave us the privilege of prayer. Look, if you have a need, just ask the shepherd. just bleat all you want. Bah, I got to have it. I'll answer you. Then He gave us the Word of God. Here's the directions. Here's the how-tos. Here's all the principles you need to live. I've given you that. We don't have a want if we have a relationship with the shepherd. So, it's very important. John 10, 3 and 4. Verse 3 says this, and the sheep are known there by name. All right? And of course, we have songs that we sing. My name's written down in glory. We have records in the Bible and the Revelation about the Lamb's Book of Life that'll be open and our name was written down. So the shepherd knows our name. If we back to the shepherd, he's not going to go, who's that? No, he knows us. He knows, there's some, I've never had sheep or a lot of goats and things like that, and they all sound the same to me. You go over to Galarine and you can go out there and feed them, and some of them are high-pitched backs, and some people and they're old. But the Bible says that the shepherd knows the sheep by name. And in verse 4 says here, and the sheep know His voice. You hear that small, still voice that speaks to us, we know that's God. Obviously, I'm looking forward to it. But the Bible says that He's going to, with the trump of God and a shout, and He's going to say, come up hither. I believe we'll be able to know it. Like, that's the shepherd. So the Bible teaches that we can have that relationship. So when we are close enough to His voice to hear it, then we should always follow the shepherd. And if we're going to go to that green pasture, follow Him. And then sometimes He takes us out of the green pasture. And what we do is, hold up. I want a second helping. But God's leading us out. We're like, well, I like it here. I want to stay right here. And some of them could have. And the Bible talks about 90 and 9 went back to the fold, and that one didn't want to. And so they get away from the shepherd. And of course He comes and looks and things like that. But He may be leading us away from danger. Well, God, I don't see how there could be danger. I mean, I'm eating all this grass and here's this still water. What's the big deal? He knows if the wolves are coming. He knows if the flood's going to come and that river's going to come over that. He knows. And so what we have to do is focus on the relationship with the shepherd, not telling Him what we need. Now, I would be more happy, and I have a want. I want to go back over to that pasture. Or I want to go drink some more of that water. I want to stay here. I want to do this. And if God is leading us away, listen to the shepherd. And so we see that the relationship is the most important thing, because there could have been a flood and they would have drowned in it. There could have been an attack of wolves, but the shepherd was trying to lead them out. So we see, first of all, that the Lord was our shepherd. We shall not have a want. And then we see that I seems to be carnal. And I alluded to this when we first started, that word I. And I'm going to show you some I problems in the Bible here. Some of them you probably know. But so I get it. So the Lord is my shepherd. We kind of, no, but He wants us to think that. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus died in my stead. Nothing wrong with that. The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to supply my needs. Here's another one. Okay, I shall not want. We can have that confidence in that one. Now, I will do my own thing. It'll get you in trouble. I think I'm smarter than God. We'll get you in trouble. That kind of I will get us in trouble. But I shall not want. Why? Because I got a relationship with the shepherd. He's going to give me something to drink. He's going to feed me. He's going to keep me safe. I shall not want. Why? Because I got a relationship with the shepherd. But if we do have an I problem, we see here that such spiritual promise begins with a selfish word here. I shall not want. A vain person can make that word I to be dominant and a dominant force, and it will not let anything come between him and his worldly desire. And I'm going to show you some guys that God showed us in the Bible that had this problem with that I. They weren't saying, the Lord's my shepherd, so I shall not want. No, they had some wants, and they were not going to back down from it. So the I was their identity, and it gave them things that they had to hold on to. And it says here, they had a problem with saying or trusting God. They wanted to trust their self. And the first one is Satan, and it's found in Isaiah 14, 13 through 14. So Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14, this is where Satan had the I problem. And I'm not going to read all of them, but I'll just read you the statements that he said that began with I. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit also upon the mount of the north. I will ascend into the heights. I will be like the Most High. So again, he disregarded his relationship with the shepherd. And he said, I will be my own God. I will do what I want to do. I will ascend. I will be in charge. I. So if we said, the Lord is my shepherd, if we took that part off and we just said, I shall not want. I'm going to have this much money, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to live like this, and I'm going to do, I will. Then we have no relationship with the shepherd. Obviously, he forfeited his relationship with the shepherd and said, I will. Another one that we had in the Bible that had this problem was Saul. Saul's like, I'm the first king. I am head and shoulders above the rest. I am goodly. And some of those statements were made about him, but he let it go to his head. And then when he heard women singing about David, David killing his thousand, Saul killed his thousand, but David killed his 10,000. He said, I want the women to be singing about me. And I want the power to still rule and reign. So I'm going to kill David. So, we see here that the eye can be a problem. Satan had an eye problem. Saul had an eye problem. Another one, funny that all three of these started with an S, but Samson had an eye problem. And the Bible talks about this, that if this eye offend thee, you ought to pluck it out. It would be better you to go to heaven with one eye, Pi-Pi, than to have both of them and die and go to hell. But Samson had a problem with the women. And it wasn't just Delilah. There was two or three others before she came along. The woman at Timnath and then the harlots and things like that. And that's what he kept saying. I want her, Mom and Dad. I want this and I want that. So we see that I can be a problem, obviously, if the shepherd is excluded. Satan said, I. Saul said, I. Samson said, I want that girl. No, I want that girl. Now I want this. And I want strength to do this and that. And of course, we know he got right with the Lord at the end and killed more in his death than he did in his life. So, but we see that I can be a problem. So all these said, I desire, I lust, I shall have. All right? It's a different than a want. Or a need, all right? But if we have the relationship with the shepherd, we won't have those things. Obviously, we won't be lustful if we have a relationship with the shepherd. We won't want to please ourselves. We won't want to please him if we have a relationship. So we can say, I don't have a want, because all these really were desires and lustful things and dissatisfaction. And we'll look at those real quick. A desire is something that often says, you can't have. Okay? It's kind of like Adam and Eve. You can eat of every tree except this one. And they looked over at that one. And they would pick off the other one, but they were looking at that one. And, oh, man, why did he say we can't have that? And it worked for a while. But what was it? Their desire. It wasn't a want. They didn't have a want. If you'd have kept your relationship with the shepherd, you could have ate of all these trees and you'd have been fine. But you had a desire. I gotta have that. I gotta have it. And of course, Satan went over there and got involved in it. But a desire is something sometimes that we can't have. And that's what creates that. You know, your mom brings those cookies out and says, now you can't have any of these till they cool off. But the house already knocks you down with the smell. Oh my goodness. I gotta have one of those cookies. Or she even says something worse. You can't have one until after supper. All right, I'm glad I grew past that. I wasn't going to, you know, ruin my appetite. I'm fine, Mom. I can eat two or three cookies and I'll still eat all my food. But anyway, so sometimes a desire gets created when you're told you can't have. You can't have. And so Satan obviously wanted to be God, but he couldn't have that. Saul wanted to be the most popular king, and he had it for a while, but he lost it because he wished not that the Lord had left him. And Samson, he just wanted. So it was a desire of something that they couldn't have, or you shouldn't have. There are some things that it's not that we wanted it, but we shouldn't. We don't need it. And so we see that you don't need it at all. It's kind of like little boys. I wasn't this kind of little boy, but some little boys love snakes. All right? They want to play with them. They want to put them around their neck, take a picture with it, things like that. When I was a little boy, that's what I did with snakes, and I killed it. All right, chopped its head off with a shovel or a stick or a gun, things like that. I didn't learn all the you know, which one's poisonous, which one's not. No, just shoot them all. That was my opinion. Because, you know, they had those coral snakes, and they're very pretty. And the corn snake, they look very similar. And they teach you these little sayings, you know, because you it's okay to hold that one, but you shouldn't hold that one. And I think it was red on black was a friend of Jack. Right? And red and yellow, they will kill a fella. Right? But I never said, you know, what's touching what? Red, no, just kill it. Right? Oh, that was a corn snake, my bad. But there was some coral snakes too. But little boys sometimes they want to hold snakes. But that's something that they shouldn't. And maybe they were told, don't. And so it created a desire. And that's what the devil does. Look at Adam and Eve. Don't you eat of that piece. Oh, yeah, that's the one you want. And so that's what happens is what was like, okay, I want that. I desire that. You know, and the Bible says, if the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. So we need to make sure it's what God wants. So it says here, but it's pretty. And it gives me there's that intense desire to have it, kind of like an alcoholic, you know. What they didn't need even the first sip they ever took, but they definitely don't need the next one. Right? Oh, I just got to have it. And then obviously they kill themselves with cirrhosis of the liver, or they run over somebody because they're, you know, can't drive right, things like that. They didn't need that, but they thought they wanted it. And this is what Satan does. You know, you look at it, it's pretty. Doesn't that thrill you? Doesn't it give you that intense desire? This is what you need. Obviously, the adulterous relationship, that's something that we do not need. God says don't do it. But the devil puts that out there and just makes it so attractive and so as a desire. That's not a want. Another one that we misconstrue want with is that dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. It's kind of like the kid gets the two scoops on his plate, big old scoop of broccoli, big old scoop of mac and cheese, and man, that mac and cheese is gone like that. All right, now clean your plate, eat your broccoli. I don't want that. I want some more mac and cheese. All right, why? Because they're dissatisfied with that taste and they want this. Now, again, that's up to you how you handle all that. But sometimes we need things. You know, medicine don't taste good sometimes, but we need it. And so forth. So it's that dissatisfaction, I don't want that, I want this. Okay, but if we're so focused on our relationship with the shepherd, okay, then He will give us the desires of our heart. He will supply our need. If we're seeking Him first, He will add all those things. And so, again, instead of being dissatisfied, I wanted this. I wanted to be able to do that. And we're bent out of shape. But if we're focused on God, I want to make You happy. I want to please You. I want You to be my shepherd. I want You to guide me And I want to have no wants. Why? Because I just want to please you. Then we're not dissatisfied. And that's why the Bible tells us. So it's kind of like a baby crying. I was this way. You know, the baby's crying. What? Couldn't tell me. What do you want? And they just cry. All right. So you start with the pacifier. All right. Ah! And it didn't work. And then you go get the rattle or some type of toy, and you turn into some weird dude, trying to make them just don't cry, please. But it wasn't their passy. It wasn't a toy. And you're like, oh, I know, you need your diaper changed, Mom. change their diaper. That wasn't it. And then bottle. You stick that in there, and that wasn't it. Then you're like, what? They just want something. Because they're dissatisfied. Obviously, I remember back in the day, some of you will remember this, cloth diapers. All right, and you had the little safety pins. My wife was just crying. And they tried the pasty, and they tried the toy, and they tried to change the bottle, and then they tried to change the diaper, and that's what they realized, that the safety pin was inside her skin. So it was really grabbed a hold, and so they pulled that safety pin out, and she stopped crying. So we see that sometimes they just can't tell you, but they're just dissatisfied. But we want to not have want. So sometimes we see that we have losses and we have discomforts, and it causes that dissatisfaction. But again, if we have the relationship with the shepherd, Lord, I really don't like this shadow of death. I really don't like this valley. All right? But if our eyes are on Him, you must have desired it. You led me here. So what I'm going to do is focus on making you happy, keeping my relationship with you right, and you just take care of all this. So I don't have a want. I don't want to get out of here. I don't want to get out of this valley. I just want to be close to you because you're going to take care of it. So sometimes we have those losses or those discomforts or those dissatisfactions, but if we'll just give it to the shepherd, all things work together. So the key is to having that right relationship with the shepherd. So that's more important than anything that we get to have. If we have a desire or a lust, Satan did, Samson did, Saul did, other people, Adam and Eve did. They had these desires and these lusts, not necessarily a want, but they just turned their back on the shepherd to get it. And they were dissatisfied. So we may have those losses and those desires, but what will affect us as much, nothing will affect us as much as that close relationship with the shepherd. Let Him take care of it. So many things that we put too much emphasis on, that we got to have them. It's kind of like a teenage dude. Ty's probably getting close to this. All right, I remember, 15, almost 16, I got to have a car. Why do you need a car for? I just got to have one. All right. Well, back then you got a car so you could go to work so you could get money to pay for the car. All right, and you had to go get another job because something broke on the car. You had to get something. So it's just a big old ball. All right, but we got to have it. I think in a boy's mind, it wasn't a car. It was a truck. I was a redneck. So my truck, I even had the sign on the front of it for a little while that said, I heart my truck. I liked it better than my girlfriend, and I liked it better than this. And why? Because my vehicle, I had to have it. I wanted it. It was a desire. But again, I wrecked that thing two or three times and done some stupid stuff in it and so forth. I should have been worried about my relationship with the shepherd, and I wouldn't have had those bad memories. Teenage girl, never been one of those, but teenage girls seem to, some of them like cars a little bit, but they seem to more want friendships and my bestie and all that kind of stuff and BFFs forever and things like that. And if that ever goes away, oh my goodness. Life is over. Right? I thought she was my bestie. And, I want. And so, again, have a relationship with the shepherd and let him add those friends when you need them. Don't get caught up in, I've got to make this relationship work, or I've got to accomplish this, or I've got to get a hold of that. No, just have a relationship with the shepherd, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So fears can come. This is another. I don't want that. I don't want you to turn that light off. I'm scared of that. I don't want to ride that. I'm scared of that. So fears, we think, the Lord's my shepherd and I shall not want. So I'm sure those sheep were freaked out in the valley of the shadow of death, bleating and shaking and looking back and forth. But There's the shepherd. I got you. So those fears sometimes. And again, I've seen, you know, fears sometimes are for real because you experience something. All right. Then sometimes fears are passed down. You know, I know some ladies that were some relatives I had. I mean, they were deathly scared of storms. I mean, if there was a little cloud about the size of a man's hand, I think the Bible says that. I mean, storm shelter now. Like, Mom. The weatherman didn't say, I don't care. Look at that. We're going to storm shelter. All right. And so then the mom was that way. So then the kids. Yeah. So it, fears. But that's what these sheep did. They had a relationship with the shepherd and said, look, I don't want to be, you know, stupid. And I don't want to be, disregard of life and things like that. And things like that. But God's got us. I was deathly scared of the dark. Outside dark. Inside dark, I wanted the lights off. I wanted the bathroom light off. I didn't want a little plug-in light thing. I even covered up my alarm clock. You know, that had the big old digital letters over there. I'd cover it up with something. I wanted it dark when I was sleeping. But go outside in the dark? No way. All right? That's why I was so fast. I could take the trash out and be back down that half-mile driveway and be back in a split second. I was fast because, I mean, I was scared of the dark. Well, my dad would say, okay, your tree stand's about 100 yards down there and then take 50 yards over there. I mean, I'd run. You're not supposed to run with a gun, right? But I wouldn't load it and I'd hold it out and I'd get up in that stand. Why? Because I'm scared of the dark. But I realized that, hey, God's got me. I mean, if He does allow something to take me out here, it's just my time to go. God, you know, you're going to keep me safe. Have that relationship with the shepherd. And, you know, again, He's going to take care of us. So fears can become wants. And I just want those fears to evaporate. The only way they will is a relationship with the shepherd. Realize He's got you. He can take care of you. So when we learn that the shepherd will protect us and will ask us, what do I got to be scared of? God's got me. So a close walk with that shepherd keeps you protected. So let us, as Christians, not be, let's say it this way, Christian history majors. All right? A lot of people are Christian history majors. In other words, they know exactly what this book says. But that happened way, way, way back then. This was in Jesus' time. This was in Jeremiah's time. This was in, you know, Methuselah's time. This was, and all that happened back there. But you know what? The same person that created all that and took care of them and had relationships with them, we got Him today. The same shepherd's here now. He went back to heaven. Yeah, He came down, was born of a virgin, and He lived 33 and a half years, and He preached and healed and died on the cross and rose again. He did all that stuff, and He went back to heaven. But the Bible says He gave us that comforter, and so the same God that told Adam and Eve, hey, breathed into their nostrils the breath of life is the same shepherd I got today. And every one of them that went through and went through a storm and came on the other side with broken pieces, and every one of them that was in a lion's den or in a fiery furnace or anything that you can think of, the same shepherd that they had a relationship with that kept them safe and that brought them through and provided for them is the same shepherd we have today. So let's not be Christian history majors. Well, back in the Bible time, no, God's alive today in 2025. Can you say that yet? Have you wrote 2024? Okay. All right. But He's still here. He's still alive. That same one that created it all, the same one that died and rose again, everything that happened in that history book, I get it. It was a long time ago. He's still alive today. So let's not be so caught up, well, God, back in the day. No, my shepherd's here today. My shepherd knows this sheep today. My shepherd can hear my voice today. My shepherd can still guide me in the right paths and give me water and give me something to eat and protect me. He's still here today. God's not in the past. God's in the present. So the Bible does not mention to tell the part of history. But He also gives us what we call modern-day solutions. Yes, some of that stuff took place a long time ago, thousands of years ago. But the principles that they use and the promises that God made to them, He's not a respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing for the 2025 Christian. So let's not be Christian history majors. The Lord is my shepherd now. I shall not want now. Don't live in the past like God did. Then there's those Christians that are this way. Well, we just got to suck it up, buttercup. We just got to, set our face like a flint. We just got to make it through because one day in heaven. And that's true. Just like God did all that stuff in the past, and the shepherd was in the past, and one day we'll be like Him and we'll get our new body and we'll have mansions and we'll live forever and ever and ever. Yes, we're going to have that. And so the same shepherd that was back there and the same shepherd that's going to be up there is here today. Let's say, the Lord is my shepherd today. I shall not want today. So live for now. Live today. Nothing is wrong with planning for the future. But don't let that be your purpose. Don't let that be your comfort. Don't let that be, that's what I want. That's what I have to have. No, no, no. Have a relationship with the shepherd. If the shepherd gives you a purpose, serve it. If the shepherd says, okay, do this and this for the future, do it. If the shepherd says, okay, I want you to have the desire of your heart, so here have this. But my focus should be on my relationship with the shepherd. So being with the shepherd and being what the shepherd needs me to be is my purpose, is my comfort, is what I want. And that's why you get your desires, because your ways please Him. So what do sheep do when they're hungry? They go over to the shepherd and say, back, and he feeds them. What does the sheep do when they're scared? It may be a different bat. I don't know. Maybe a higher pitch. I'm scared. All right. And what do? They go over to the shepherd. He keeps them safe. And what does the shepherd? He has a sufficiency to meet every need that we have. As long as he's going to use it to let us get closer to Him. So sometimes that shepherd may have stayed back a little bit and taught that sheep to, oh, I better stay close. Or maybe he let that sheep fall off into that little hole and show him that he could help him get out. It's developing that relationship. So trust God and learn to be content. Philippians 4:11 and 12 tells us that. Whatever state that we're in, be content. So don't let it be a desire or don't let it be a want. Let it be content. So he will fix it. He will help you through it. He will do whatever. So as concerned as we are, we think, man, I just can't make it without that. I can't make it without that car. I can't make it without that friend. I can't make it without that amount of money. I can't make it. I mean, as much as we're concerned, He's more concerned. He gave His life for the sheep. And if it's something that's on our heart, it's not silly. If it's something that we're worried about, it's not dumb. But what we got to do is say, okay, God, teach me. What do I need to want? What do I need to think? How do I need to act? I want to please the shepherd. And so that's what we ought to be concerned with. So some days the sheep are feeding on that lush green pasture. Other days they're walking in that valley of the shadow of death. But both of these days they're loved by the shepherd. They're protected by the shepherd. They are close to the shepherd. So both days the sheep should have no other wants except, where's the shepherd? Oh, there he is. Where's the shepherd? And so the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because I want to have that close relationship with Him. So the prayer of Psalm 23, statement 2, goes something like this. Lord, I confess my life is centered around things like cars, houses, money, possessions. Forgive me for letting things possess me. Lord, even when I don't have things, my biggest problem is a lustful heart that always wants more. Teach me to be satisfied with You. Lord, I have many possessions, and I thank You for providing them. Help me to be thankful for them and to glorify You with them. I realize I could lose all my possessions at one time. Help me live today and trust You for the future. Lord, I want You to be the most important thing in my life. I surrender everything and every day to You. Lord, I shall not want. That's what Psalm 23, second part says. Amen. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And work on that relationship. I know that's what I want to do in 2025, is to realize He's got everything in control. Again, I don't want to be silly. I don't want to be not thoughtful. But I want to have a good relationship with the shepherd and let Him take care of everything else. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the night that You've given us. Lord, I just ask You to be with the whole membership of our church. We just ask You to keep them safe during this time of storm. We just ask You to, if it be Your will, allow the power to stay on for everyone. And Lord, I just ask You to keep those that have to go to work in different places safe as they travel about. You know, keep Your hand of protection around them. And Lord, I just ask You to help our church, Lord, in 2025. Help each individual grow closer to You. Lord, help us collectively to grow closer to You. And Lord, we just ask You to bless our church. You add the ones to it that You want to. And Lord, I just ask You to just have Your will and way. Keep us safe as we travel home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.